T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With a look at the other Kansas City teams in sports, here's Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero. It's Jillian Carroll, obviously. I'm joined with Uno Cero, and we've got Julio in the booth, of course. What's up, guys? How we doing?
I am doing great. I'm enjoying a nice closing to the week. Obviously, we got a bunch of snow that's coming in. Was it 5 to 8 inches coming into Kansas City tomorrow? So I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm looking forward to a nice snowed-in weekend.
You know what tonight and tomorrow is going to be consistently? It's going to be every mom and every person who lives alone raiding the grocery stores, taking all the food, all the bread, the milk, all the eggs, raiding and just packing. I mean, just like literally as if the snowpocalypse is coming. They're just going to take all the grocery stores. Everything's going to be gone.
Yeah, all the bread and milk are going to be gone, but don't worry about it, because the thing you want to get tomorrow is all of the leftover Valentine's Day chocolate. That's what you want to get. that is the thing that is going to be my, when I get off of work, I'm going to run over to Sunfresh on the way home, and I'm going to just raid that aisle with the leftover Valentine's Day candy. I'm going to get all of the marked down Hershey Kisses. It is going to be a great weekend for me and a terrible weekend for my body.
Do you get the chocolate roses?
Yeah, whatever they got. Whatever they, if they got the kisses, if they got the little, like, the little chocolate hearts or whatever, I'm getting all of it. Everything they got. If it's pure chocolate, I'm getting it this weekend.
That's probably one thing that I miss from my former life of being a third grade teacher, was I got the best, like, absolute everything, every holiday, the best gifts ever. And Valentine's Day and Easter were both so good for all of the sweets. Like, I'm talking every heart, like you just mentioned, the Reese's peanut butter hearts, the M&M hearts, the everything, the chocolate roses, the boxes of chocolates. Like, I stocked up. Like, I had enough chocolate for probably 3 or 4 months. It was the best.
Yeah, it was absolute great. Best. Valentine's Day was always, like, the second Halloween, because, you know, a few months later, you were going to get all, like, everybody's exchanging candy now. And so you would get the cards, you get like the cool Digimon or the Batman card. And then you get the little suckers, which I didn't like. But then somebody would like really spend money, like, hey, we're going to get you that little heart candies with the chocolate. And that was great. That would make my day. I was always looking forward to Valentine's Day, not because of the Valentine's, because I didn't care about that. I just wanted the candy. And so I was really looking forward to that. It was terrible for my teeth, but I was really looking forward to it.
Do you remember, I might be dating myself right here, but do you remember the shoebox Valentine's Day boxes? Did you ever make those?
I think that was before me. I think we stopped
okay,
doing
great.
That. We just did the basic cards. And like, it'd be like, you know, somebody got like a big thing of like cards for whatever kid show that everybody, that people, that they were into, and they'd give them out. And they like tape the candy to it. I think the shoebox was before me. Was that your time? That's still a thing. Is it still a thing?
Yes, and they're elaborate.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, what do you take them home in? You bring your shoebox to collect all the Valentines that your classmates bring you. And at the end of the day, well, first of all, you eat all the candy, like you just said, but then you bring home all the actual cards in your shoebox, right?
No, I just put them on my backpack. I just stuffed it. I had this Goku backpack. It was great. I just stuffed it in there.
It all comes back.
Yeah, I had the Goku. I was like, I was on it. I was the first one on that Goku kick. I was third grade. I was the first one on that Goku kick. I had that backpack. I saw it at the beginning of third grade year, and I identified that. I was like, that's cool. That's my jam. And I was so popular when I got that, because I didn't know that many people actually liked that show.
You're a mess. I know that, like, I was the tomboy when I was little. Well, probably still am. But so my mother always wanted to get me like Barbie Valentines and everything. and I always refused, and I always got whatever my older brother got. So I had, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ones, and I had, like,
I despised the Barbie one. I hated when people gave out the Barbie. I was like, I don't want this. Like, get some.
But if it had candy, if it had candy, you would take it.
Yeah, if it had good candy. If it just had, like, the cheapo heart suckers or whatever, like, yeah, no, you can throw that away. Like, I always threw those suckers away because I was like, I don't want that. I want the real chocolate. This is what I came for, was chocolate.
How about the box of message hearts? Remember those?
Yeah, I like those. I don't know if you like those, Julio. I like the message, the I want you and kiss me. Yeah, I like that one. Those are kind of good.
Corny.
No, you know, they were corny?
Corny.
You didn't like those?
They were corny.
Nope. Pass.
Julio doesn't, hard pass. Julio doesn't like love. Julio doesn't like emotion.
Hard pass.
It's like a hard pass on emotion. Hard pass on heartfelt messages.
I'm probably the only one that did anything today for Valentine's Day. So
yeah, you're right.
Probably. You're right. Okay, tell us what you did. What'd you do for Valentine's Day? Someone wants to share.
No one wants to share, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Just share it. You just talked about it.
Heartless.
You talked about it, so share.
I just did a nice
fill us in.
A lunch date, you know, out in the park.
No, you gotta go into detail.
Very good.
Did you have like a picnic blanket and a,
I did.
A basket.
Did you pick her up or did you meet her there? That's first. Did you pick her up?
I told her we were going to Denny's, which she was not thrilled about.
Oh,
I wouldn't be thrilled about Denny's either.
The parking lot, then
I don't
we drove
blame
over
her.
To the park. I thought it was hilarious.
Do you like
so
sing
you
her
met,
a song?
So sorry. Yes. Like, give me something here. What happened?
But what do you mean?
Did you bring her a chocolate covered rose?
Well, no. I did. I made chocolate covered strawberries. I did.
Do you feed them to her?
Her favorite dinner.
You fed them to her?
I did. No. It was public park, Chris.
So?
That's not, and it was still cold out.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing indecent about feeding someone chocolate-covered strawberries.
No, dude. I'm not trying to have somebody feed me chocolate-covered strawberries.
I would love for somebody to feed me chocolate-covered strawberries. I would love it. I would feel special.
In a public park, no. No, thank you.
It's nothing.
I can eat my own
strawberries. There's nothing indecent about someone feeding you chocolate-covered strawberries at a public park. I don't think that's the case.
Dude.
I think I would be perfectly comfortable and in my skin, even if it was little kids running around like, ooh, look at that. That's gross. I don't care. I would feel comfortable in my skin someone feeding me chocolate-covered strawberries in the public park.
All right. So Julio was the man and had a Valentine's date. I had zero dates, but I did get 13 text messages from my darling soccer players wishing me happy Valentine's Day, probably because they knew nobody else would wish me happy Valentine's Day.
No. Don't try to play a victim. Don't try to.
No, I'm just saying.
Don't try to play a victim.
I'm just saying.
She's trying to make us feel sad. We need some violin music for her, Julio. You need to play some violin music underneath her while she's talking about how no one wanted to text her for Valentine's. You know what? After this show, me and Julio, we're going to text you happy Valentine's Day so you feel special.
This is a team effort, Julio. You can hit the text line right now, happy Valentine's Day. I'm kidding. I did eat some cookie cake today for Valentine's Day. That was beautiful. That was delicious. It was in the office, so I ate it. And that was about it. What did you do, Chris?
We had donuts. It was actually funny. Okay. It was somebody's 20th anniversary at the place that I work at during the day. So we had some Mars donuts. And so I ate like four of those. And I didn't eat lunch afterwards because I was so stuffed.
Man.
That was good enough for me. I was like,
so much sugar.
Oh, it was so. Oh, man. Oh.
Too much. That's a lot.
And then they were passing around the chocolate heart candies. I was surprised. They had like the Dove chocolate hearts. I was like, oh yeah. And then they had a bake sale too. And so they had the M&M.
Jeez, they brought it on.
Oh yeah, they had the M&M cookies. And so yeah, I didn't have dinner because I was so full from everything that I ate at work today.
Just all the sugar. Okay, question: what kind of Valentines did Patrick Mahomes bring to school when he was in fifth grade?
Fifth grade. Okay, so he's 23. So what was hot at 18 years
ago? If you say Goku,
no, it wasn't Goku.
You're gonna get kicked out.
No, it wasn't Goku.
Okay, good.
Because it was no, because 2001 when he was. It was 2001. So let me think.
So, but the kid's in fifth grade. So he's getting his little Valentine's. He's got a crush on the little girl in the class.
I'm tripping. I'm thinking 18 years ago. That was when he was five. I mean, yeah, no, that's not the case.
No, in fifth grade, you're 11.
He was 11. So it was 11. Yeah. You know, it was 11. What was hot then? What was it? 2009?
But I'm just saying, so So what kind did he have? And then how many girls did he give Valentines to that said, will you be my Valentine?
See, he looked how many like Valentines he was, did he have? He looked like he was a player. So I assume all the girls wanted the Valentine from Patty Mahomes.
I'm pretty sure all the girls were giving him Valentines. Like, they wanted one that. Too.
They wanted to feel they wanted the feelings reciprocated.
But how many is he giving out? And what kind? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
It's not TMNT, because that's past that.
Superheroes?
It's got to be. I'm going to say Superman, because he looks like a Superman. I hate Superman, but he looks like a Superman guy. So I'm going to say Superman.
Superman?
Yeah, unless he had his own likeness on his card.
I think he's more of a Batman kind of guy.
I mean, I'd be cool with him. I like Batman better than Superman, but I think he's a Superman kind of dude.
I don't know. I'm either going with like some, I don't know if there's like sports figurines or sports teams Valentines, or I don't know. I might just stick with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, man. Like,
why? What is up with you and TMNT? Like, what is?
I'm a big fan.
I never got into that. I watched the movies, and I didn't like the movie. I watched the one where he went back. They went back in time to Japan with the samurai. That was dope. That was the best one. But the first and the second one were really bad. I hated Vanilla Ice. He's a terrible rapper, and so I really hated that song. They played it too much. So no, when they went back to Japan, that was dope. That was the only one that was good.
They were all my dudes. I was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle wannabe. And I think Patrick Mahomes was too. So that's what I'm sticking to. All right, enough about Valentine's. Thank you for listening to our Valentine's for this intro. Just saying, my Valentine's were 13-year-old soccer players.
Send you a text.
That's all I got.
Me and Julio will chip in and we'll send you a text. So you'll feel special. You won't be left out.
Do you know? All right, we do have a great show lined up. We got more. We've got a reaction of Sporting Kansas City's manager, Peter Vermes, taking some heat via social media on some of his decisions, and we know how he is with his decisions. So he clapped back a little bit. So we're going to have to get into that. Royals are down in Surprise, Arizona, doing their thing. We'll talk a little bit about that. Don Garber, MLS commish, just got a big old extension. We'll talk about, do we think he deserved it? Do we think how he's doing in comparison to other commissioners of other leagues? And we'll get you some updates on some local teams. We've got a lot today. Again, if you want to wish me a happy Valentine's Day or Chris or Julio,
just
send it
to Jillian. Jillian really needs him right now. I'm good.
I'm just playing. Don't go anywhere. More when we return. I had zero dates, but I did get 13 text messages from my darling soccer players wishing me happy Valentine's Day, probably because they knew nobody else would wish me happy Valentine's Day.
We are rolling back in here on Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero. I'm Chris Uno Cero. Jillian Carroll will be back with us shortly. And as you just heard, Jillian Carroll right now, she has explicitly told us she has not gotten any happy Valentine's Day wishes thus far, aside from the players that she coaches on her youth team. So if you want to send her the very much needed Valentine's Day wishes, you can text those in right now on the Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line 69306.
Now I just feel like you should feel sorry for me. That's not
we're trying to lift your spirits up, Jillian. It's not good to go into the weekend feeling bad, so we want to help you out here.
I'm telling you, I got 12 or 13 of the best Valentine gifts I've ever seen. These kids today.
You sounded pretty sad though, even with them. Yeah, play it again. Play it. We played some because you missed it. Play it again, Julio.
Oh my goodness, this makes me zero dates, but I did get 13 text messages from my darling soccer players wishing me happy Valentine's Day, probably because they knew nobody else would wish me happy Valentine's Day.
No. We wanted to tell your story. We wanted to let people know that they can make you feel good. They can make you feel good. They can lift your spirits up going into the weekend. Protein House, Eat With The Purpose text line is 69306. Wish Jillian Carroll a happy Valentine's Day.
Crickets. And other news, moving on from the fact that Jillian has no Valentine.
She does want you to feel sorry for her, guys.
As we mentioned, Sporting Kansas City manager Peter Vermes receiving a little bit of heat on different social media platforms about how he's spending or not spending his money. We have seen over, I would say, the past 2 to 3 years, Peter Vermes bring in a heck of amounts of money, both GAM and TAM. Mm-hmm. Obviously, between the Dwyer trade, I would say that was the biggest one, and then the Rubio trade. There's money to be spent, and fans are asking why the heck aren't they spending it. What are your thoughts on that right away? I think what we're seeing is he's choosing to spend money in specific spots and on specific players, with more players making the max salary than any other team in the league. So do you think these people are out of line for saying, hey, why aren't you spending your money?
Now, he points out in this interview that, they have a ton of players on their roster currently making more than the 2018 salary budget maximum of $504,375. Those players being Felipe Gutierrez, Johnny Russell, Christian Namath, Andreu Fontas, Roger Espinoza, Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, Johan Quaze, Julio's favorite player, and Jurso Fernandez. That's a lot of players making above the league maximum. And I think
it's more than any other team.
Yes.
More than.
And I think it's unfair to say that he is not spending money. I think you can criticize him for the moves that he's made, though. I don't like he absolutely is spending money. If you look at that, I mean, he paid a guy $1 million last year in Andreu Fontas
to play
two games. He played two games, I believe.
He made
$500,000 a game last year. I would love to play two games an entire year and make $500,000 a game.
It's not that he spent the money, it's how he spent
the money. Yeah, it's how he spent it. And on top of the
poor contracts that he signed.
Yeah, because like I think definitely, obviously, Johnny Russell, Johnny Rockets, great signing. Felipe Gutierrez, great signing. We know that those guys are certainly contributing to this team in a way that is very important for this squad. Obviously, you still have Beisler, you still have Zusi. Those guys are very important. Espinoza is important. I mean, you can argue the $900,000 he made last year, maybe a little bit too much, but still, he's a very important player. I look at it like I think that they're spending money in a way that is appropriate for it. It's just a matter of, okay, are you spending money in the right spots? Are you getting that striker you need? Because they do need a striker. They do need to go out and get a guy. Because I don't really trust Christian Namath. I don't know about you guys. I don't really trust Christian Namath. So there's question marks there. But I think that it's unfair to say that he's not spending money, because he is. It's just a matter of where he spends that money that matters.
He's not spending what he has. He has boatloads tucked away.
Yeah,
and that's what people are saying. We know what you got off of these two trades. We know that you picked up two players and money for Diego Rubio. We know, with one player, Kellen Rowe. We know that you got boatloads of money for Dwyer. Why aren't you spending it? And so I think that people are, you know, very brazen to challenge him, because we know how Peter Vermes is, and we know it's his way or no way. But I appreciate him for coming out and saying, like, listen, this is what we're doing. This is the system. It's always been about that with Peter Vermes. His plan is going to be executed. The fact that he answered back, I'm not sure if I feel as if he felt like he had to. I almost expected him not to. Like, I'm surprised by it. Just because he hasn't had to, I suppose, explain his anything thus far. You know what I'm saying? Like, he does what he does. It's his job. No questions asked. Moving on. But I think now where we're headed as far as Sporting Kansas City last year, brought in some players, had a great season, wasn't as successful as people thought it would be. So now they're asking questions. So now they're saying, hey, and to your point, Chris, which you bring up every week, and I don't blame you on this, you don't trust Namath. You don't think he's the guy. We know this. So they're saying, hey, you have money in the bank. We have a big need. We have a void. Use the money to fill the void.
Yeah.
And to Julio, to your point, I think he's dropped some dough, clearly, but is it in the right places? So, I mean, I don't know. It's his team. It's his bank account. Like, he's going to do what he will. I still go back to the point where I think that he has spent the money, so he's going to invest in those players, a.k.a. Namath. I think he's going to give him a shot this year. I think he's going to go with him. But you still think he needs to spend money and bring in a nine, right?
Yeah, I think that, because, again, it's just because of my distrust for Christian Namath. Now, if Namath is the guy, then obviously that's money well spent. But, I mean, we saw them last year go out and trust Kyrie Shelton the entire season to be that starting striker.
Terrible.
And we know what happened with that. So I think we are right to be skeptical about whether or not they found that position, because they've been looking for that position since they traded away Dom a couple years ago, and they really haven't found the answer to mm-hmm. that striker spot. So it is very much
I think you can question that.
I just don't think you can. I think it's unfair to question whether or not he's actually spending money, because when you saw those flurry of acquisitions last offseason, where they brought in Gutierrez, they brought in Quaze, they brought in Johnny Russell, I think you knew right then and there they were expecting to be competitive really quickly with those guys and expecting to make a push beyond what they had did in 2017. Because frankly, I think we can all agree that was a little bit of a disappointing way to end the season when you started out as one of the better teams in the Western Conference. So I definitely
think
that
was terrible. 2017, mm-hmm. sorry.
Yeah, I definitely think that.
No, 2017 in Houston, it was too soon, but they lost it on their own. They didn't have the guys. They didn't have the personnel. Yeah. And the first thing out of Peter Vermes' mouth was, we're going to go find the guy. And then Diego Rubio got healthy from his knee injury, came back, wasn't the guy. You know what I mean? I think at this point, Peter Vermes does feel some stress, does feel some pressure on the money that he has spent. He did spend money on Namath, brought him in. I think now giving him a chance is almost proving a point to support his decision to bring Namath in.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that he's not bringing in another nine to show, hey, I did make the right decision. Watch this guy work. I knew it the whole time. I think it's kind of one of those.
Yeah.
Because what else is it? The money's in the bank. What else is it, you know?
I mean, and maybe it's not so much proving a point. It's more so like, I really think this guy is the guy, you know. It's not like, you know, I'm going to keep him out there and, you know, let's hope he does it so it can prove me right. It could be that he really just does think that he is the right answer at that spot. I mean, I don't really know what's going through his head, but I would hope that that's what his conviction is, as opposed to, I'm just going to do it to prove everyone wrong. He did say something, though, that was really interesting during this interview, though, and talks about getting players to actually come to Kansas City. And his quote was, there are a lot of guys, first off, that don't want to come to Kansas. They don't know where it is, what it is. They think people are riding horses. They really do. Now, no problem if I can get a player here on a recruiting trip. Then it's totally different. I can sell a player in 2 seconds. Now, my issue with this quote is that it's your job to recruit people to come here. That's what you do. This is kind of like in college sports. You got to get people to, and this is like if Les Miles comes in here and says this same thing, I'm going to have an issue with Les Miles saying the same thing. If he's like, oh man, I'm in Kansas, it's so hard to get people to come here because there's just, they think everyone's riding horses and they're milking cows and et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's not an excuse. Because at the end of the day, it's your job to sell people to come here. And there's a lot of players who are not playing in their respective European leagues or their South American leagues. And there's a lot of these guys who are like, I want to be a chance to be a star. And this team will pay me $1 million to come over there and be a star for them in their country. I don't think it matters so much about location for, I mean, if you're like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, yeah, you don't want to be in Kansas City. But if you're like a Felipe Gutierrez type player, you don't care as long as you get an opportunity. So to me, I don't like that answer, because it tells me that, hey, if we can't get so and so big name player to come here, then we're just not going to go out and get them. Like, that kind of concerns me.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that he's experiencing these problems because of the caliber player that he is searching for, which we all know that. Like, that's what is what it's expected at this point. But I mean, if you look at who has been brought in, they worked on Ilya for years. They literally worked on getting him here for years. He finally became more serious and started to consider Sporting Kansas City when David Villa came over and played for NYCFC. And David Villa, obviously from, you know, knew Ilya from the time they were young,
yep,
and had a very serious sit-down conversation and told Ilya of the professionalism and the high-class standard that Sporting Kansas City has. And Ilya would be the first one to tell you that David Villa is the reason why he did end up coming over here. And then in turn, Ilya Sanchez was a huge, huge reference and point of interest for Felipe Gutierrez to come over. Also for Christian Lobato, who we saw in the past, he is no longer with the squad. But, you know, it is that word of mouth, or it is that recommendation. So to Peter's defense, even these guys, you know, who had friends here or people they trusted here, they still needed that recommendation for somebody who was here and did experience it. So, I mean, if I'm going to move across the world, I mean, I remember a story about Latif Blessing coming to Kansas City, never left Africa ever in his life, came here. The guys took him to Chipotle. He wanted rice and mayonnaise. That's all he would ask for. That's all he would eat, because that was life back there. So imagine just being plucked out of everything that you know, dropped into some new place, like not knowing anything. These guys were giving him a hard time because he's asking for rice and mayo. Like, it's a huge culture shock. And Kansas City, or Kansas, whatever you want to say, nationally probably doesn't have the best reputation. But these guys, Ilya, for example, being ambassadors of Kansas City or even of the MLS, like David Villa, I think they play a big role in it. So to Peter's defense, I do think that there is some of that. Is it enough? Is it an excuse? I don't know. But I think that's also reasons why they are building Pinnacle, for example, and why they are trying to maintain this high level, high standard, and stay on the map nationally in hopes of bringing more talent like that.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree with you on that. Certainly, you know, there's a big process in selling people to come over here when most people, most foreigners, don't really know a lot about living in the United States. They just kind of know what they see on the news, so I can understand that. But at the same time, it's your job to dispel those myths. I mean, that's just what it is. That's just yeah, part of the job. Is, I mean, it's different from being a head coach in football, where you can just draft guys and they got to come to your team, otherwise they got to sit out for a year. I mean, this is a situation where you have to convince guys to come here. And I mean, man, like this is reason why it's important to have those roots. It's important to have guys like Ilya doing, you know, being active in the recruiting process, saying, hey, mm-hmm, you're playing on the B team for Girona FC over in La Liga. Hey, maybe you should come over here and be on our team and see if you can get some opportunities to become a real star over here. I mean, that's something that's right, important over there. So certainly I definitely understand the difficulties in being able to convince guys to actually at least give it a shot, but that's your job. That's what you do. That's what you get paid to do. So it's something you got to improve at.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get more into the growth of MLS, and maybe it is those international players coming over. But when we return, we'll talk through Don Garber and his extension. More when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
Back in. Jillian Kerr, Uno Sarah, here on 610 Sports Radio. The radio.com
app.
Oh, there you are.
Radio.com app. That's where it's at, people. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm receiving Instagram messages that are saying Happy Valentine's Day. So thank you for that, boys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And we've got a couple of texts on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line, 69306. Goatman hit us up. Goatman, I don't know if you are very familiar with Goatman. He is a very prevalent texter on our show, on any show here at the station, because he practically listens 24/7. He wanted to wish you a happy Valentine's Day. Another number, I think in the 816, also wished you a happy Valentine's Day as well. So me and Julio are still going to chip in, and we're going to send you our text at the end of the show. We want to make you feel special.
That's false. She's got enough of them now.
No, I'm sending one.
It's cool.
Help her out, Julio.
She just helped herself out.
Be a team player,
Julio. I see how
Julio.
You do it. Okay, dang.
Be a team player. She
don't
was
ask
sad.
Me for anything, Julio.
She was really down about not getting texts besides her students. Help her out, Julio.
We'll see what we can do.
That's fine. It's fine. I'm good. Y'all are crazy.
Stop lying to us. Stop lying to yourself.
No, yeah, I'm good. I got all the gifts. I got Instagram messages blown up. I'm good, boys. I'm good. I'm going to make it. I had some chocolate today. I'm fine.
Yeah, sure. She's going to cry after the show because she didn't get them until
and tomorrow,
after 8 o'clock.
Like, I'm going to pull Uno Cero style, and tomorrow I'm going to go bundle up all the extra Valentine's candy mm-hmm. I can get for mm-hmm. cheap at the grocery store.
Yeah, I'm going to learn y'all some.
As we promised, we're going to break down, just talk a little bit about more of the growth of MLS, but the leader himself, the commish, Don Garber, 61 years old, will celebrate his 20th year anniversary as the MLS commissioner this summer. Just received a big old extension, so a 5-year extension. This guy was formerly an NFL executive. He was recruited to come to MLS by our boy, Lamar Hunt, and also Robert Kraft. Ooh, but that's okay. recruited by those two to come over. 12 teams in the league in 99 when Garber started with MLS. And then moving forward to 2005 was the first expansion, followed by, which I think is the cool part about what Don Garber has done, starting in 2007, they expanded by one team every year until 2012. Just growing and growing and growing. The consistency of growth there is excellent. He did bring in 3 Canadian teams, and now the MLS number of teams is what, 24? Is it 24 this year?
I think
26
it's 24
next year,
and it'll be 27 by 2022, I think,
which is cool. So under Don Garber, who's a funny guy, I don't know if I got to meet him one time at one of the super drafts. He is a character, we're gonna say that he's a character. But I mean, on paper, looks good, right? He did his job. He's grown the league, which is obviously necessary with, you know, when you are a smaller league in a country that your sport is not number one. You know, you got to do your job and build it. And I think, you know, we just listed all that off that he's done, and he's done his job right there. So hats off to Don Garber, 5-year extension.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about what Don Garber's done is that he has overseen one of the quickest expansions, one of the quickest growths of any major league team here in the United States, major league league in the United States. I think, I mean, if you look at like Major League Baseball, it was popular, but certainly it took decades for it to grow. It took decades for it to really become a big mainstay as far as like becoming a big money game. If you look at football took a really, it wasn't until like the advent of television rights fees and them starting to be able to get money that way, and obviously, you know, playing to bigger crowds, getting the larger stadiums, that's when that really started to grow. It was decades after that. But for soccer came in and it was a sport that was very unorganized for a long time here in the United States. You had different leagues, but you know, they went up and down. There wasn't a whole lot of growth as far as these leagues go. And then the MLS starts. Obviously, you have the great Lamar Hunt, who, you know, we all know because of his because he owned the Chiefs and whatnot. But he was instrumental in growing the game. Yeah, because he's Lamar Hunt. And
he's Lamar Hunt, yes. And he's sports god.
Yeah, and he did such a great job of building this game here in the Midwest, throughout this country, and now you've got a guy like Garber who has been smart. He's expanded into tons of different markets. He's tackled a lot of markets that, I mean, obviously the big ones he's tackled, but he's also kind of gone into some unconventional markets like a Columbus. You know, they're going to go into Austin, mm-hmm. you know, places like that. And, like, to me, that's really smart because, like, and also the way they've built it by understanding that you need to get international players instead of saying, hey, we're just going to make this about the American players and that's it, because that's kind of what they did early on. Like, he's been really smart about building this league thus far. And I feel, if I'm comparing him to the other guys, the other commissioners in the respective top sports, I'd say he's doing a better job than all of them except for Adam Silver. Adam Silver, he's the golden standard as far as commissioners go in sports. But I'd say that Garber's done a really good job because he's been really smart about the way they've kind of inched forward progress. But it's starting to get close to time where he just kind of needs to let things go. Like, probably their next television deal, once they start getting bigger money, Like, you kind of want to let things go and let these teams start going out there and dropping money to get these big-time players.
So I agree that, you know, he's kind of, I don't know if he would be like the front runner of commissioners as, I don't know if
maybe
we,
behind
you know,
Silver.
Sorry, behind Silver. I believe that the game itself is just so new and such a foreign language to many Americans still today. And I believe when, you know, when you are growing up in this country in, gosh, I don't even know, probably 75% of the states in 99, maybe even, I don't know now, but didn't have soccer in every high school. You know, it wasn't an everyday thing. It wasn't an option for kids to be playing. Certainly older generations never even did it, never saw it, never played it, never kicked a ball, you know, with any meaning behind it. So I think he's battling that. I think that he also battles, I don't know, I think that we kind of, as Americans, are very prideful and very proud. I think, as you just mentioned, he did battle kind of the, okay, I have to give up and bring in international talent, and that's what's really going to grow the league here by increasing the quality, et cetera. So I do think that those are two challenges. But I think this guy gets off the hook so much in comparison to NFL or MLB simply for the fact of the social matters that MLS players don't really partake in any type of protesting, any type of, I mean, I think of what Roger Goodell goes through in NFL, and I can think in the past, what, maybe 5 to 7 years, domestic violence, obviously social, like racial injustices that are what they are right now. We see that running rampant through NFL athletes, you know, utilizing their platforms to protest, if you will, and MLB, turn the table over there, you know, just the players being, you know, using performance enhancers. I think that those commissioners are dealt different hands. And whereas, I mean, I think you guys know me by now, like, I'm a soccer player first and foremost. That's my thing. I coach, whatever, that's my thing. So I'm biased toward MLS and its growth. But Garber gets, he doesn't have to deal with a lot of the other stuff that other commissioners do.
I agree with that. But also part of that is kind of, is they learned the lessons that those other leagues had to learn from taking their time and having to go through many generations of having those issues. He's learned from that. So you could certainly make that case. But as far as, like, for me, when I look at it, like, I just don't see missteps. I don't see, like, Goodell. I mean, there was a story came out, I think it was yesterday or today, about NFL owners contacting Adam Silver about replacing Roger Goodell. They pay Roger Goodell like $40 million a year, and they want to replace him? So that tells me they don't really think he's doing a good job. Gary Bettman, I think he just got into the NHL Hall of Fame last year, and he got his ass booed out of the building when they did his own speech and everything.
Dang.
And Rob Manfred hasn't had a good go of it. He's struggled because of the whole Marlins situation, and because they've struggled to try to make the game faster paced and keep up with the times with younger sports viewers. So he's certainly struggled in that regards. But when I look at what he's done, certainly, yeah, he's the benefit of that is he hasn't had to deal with a lot of the social issues, in part because their league has been very progressive about those social issues from the very beginning. So they kind of set their stance, and then they haven't had to change it. So that's one of the good things about it, is that a lot of these soccer leagues have kind of come up and they've been progressive because they understand what their audience is. It's a lot younger than it is for the other sports. But I will just say, like, the way that I look at how he does his job as far as serving the better needs of that sport and understanding the things that he needs to do to help grow that sport, I'd say that probably Adam Silver is the only one that's doing a better job than him. Because when I look at Roger Goodell and I look at what the NFL's doing, they're attempting to make football international. It's never going to be an international sport. Just not the case. Not when these other countries have their own version of football that they can watch. So it's just like,
no.
I mean, I look at it, and Manfred is he's trying to make the game faster so it's still interesting to people our age. And, you know, then obviously with Gary Bettman, their viewership is lacking too, because their sport's kind of barbaric. And so because of that, you know, things have changed drastically for him. It's a really tough job that these guys have. But so far,
oh, sure.
we just haven't seen Garber have the troubles that that these other commissioners have had as far as just doing the very basic day-to-day parts. So that's the reason why I put him ahead of everyone except for Silver.
No, I'm with you on that. And I'm not trying to like harp on him. Look, the growth that we were just talking about earlier, you know, a team a year added to the league. I mean, the man's obviously doing a lot of things in the right way, bringing in the three Canadian teams. I mean, that's amazing. And then obviously he's had impact on the USL as well as it is, you know, in partnership with MLS. I wish that he would support the NWSL a little bit, but I know that's not his job, so that's okay. You know, I had to bring that up. But, yeah, hats off to Garber. 5-year extension. I mean, I agree with it, and I look forward to the growth he continues to bring. When we return, we're going to switch from soccer. We got updates on some local teams, and then our boys in blue are back in action down in Surprise, Arizona. We'll get into that when we get back. We're back in. It's Thursday night. It's Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero on 610 or on the radio.com app. We got Julio in the booth. It's a party. And we are taking a minute to update you on some Mavericks. So last weekend was a 2-win weekend. It was pretty amazing. We gave away some tickets. Nobody came and said hi to me at the game, but we gave some tickets away. It's fine.
She's sad.
4-win over Allen. What'd you say?
You're sad about that.
She sounds a little bitter.
She sounds really bitter today. Like the whole Valentine's Day thing. And
I think that's what it is. Look, that's what it is right there.
That's what it is right there.
It's Valentine's. I'm fine. I had all the gifts, all the text messages from the 13-year-old.
Keep texting in. Protein Housey with the Purpose text line 69306. Wish Jillian Carroll a happy Valentine's Day because she is not happy about that.
I'm good. No, last weekend was cool. Mavericks double win. Friday 4-0 over Allen, who usually brings a nasty physical game, and the Mavericks were there to play that night. And then more importantly, or more exciting, I suppose, Saturday night was a 4-3 win over Kalamazoo, and this was an overtime win. They came back, so they were down. They came back. You know, John Scott Dixon, in the 10th, this is the 10th season of Kansas City Mavericks hockey, and he's doing really well. They are crushing it at home, having some trouble away. But doing really well at home. At one point, they were like 13-0 at home. It was crazy. But if you haven't gotten out to a game yet, I encourage you to come out. It's more fun than I ever anticipated. Never expected it to be as cool as it is. Fast and Furious on the ice and just a lot of stuff going on entertainment-wise. They got a couple midweek games and then two at home this weekend. Upcoming weekend. Next week, we'll give away some more tickets, but... have you guys been to games? I always ask you this. Have you ever seen the Mavericks play?
I've been to a game before. I went to one of their playoff games, I think, like 3 years ago. It was pretty cool. It's tough for me to follow the puck because I have astigmatism and I can't see it.
I know.
Yeah, I've been a couple times, too, and they are fun. They're really enjoyable.
It's way more fun than I expected, I'll tell you that. It's a very... it's a fast game, clearly, but it's cool. It's fun. Come out and see it.
I love when guys get trucked against the glass.
What are they up to? And they go to town, dude.
Yeah, I love it.
They straight, like, they're knocking each other out. Like, fists are thrown every, like, punches connecting, like, every game. It's crazy. It's intense. But
Park men's basketball right now, they have won 3 of their last 4 games. They beat Columbia College on Tuesday, 57-56. Very, very close game. They're 15-10 on the season.
Shout out to Park.
Park women, they have won 2 of their last 3, but they did lose on Tuesday, 71-45, also to Columbia College on Tuesday. And then we also have UMKC basketball. The men, they won 87-75 in overtime over at Suwanee Rec over there on the campus of UMKC against Grand Canyon University. They are 7th right now in the WAC. The women, they won 65-56 down in Phoenix against the aforementioned GCU, Grand Canyon University. They are 5th in the WAC at 5-4. And then as far as Sporting Kansas City goes, they played a couple of matches, I believe, yesterday. 2 simultaneous matches they played, mm-hmm. A-squad, B-squad against the Houston Dynamo. They're 18-1, 4-1. They laid the smack it down on them.
Hey.
We saw all the stars go out there and play very well. Christian Namath got a goal, so maybe that is validation
for him.
I was
going to say, your boy scored. Your boy did his job.
That's not my boy. That's not my boy. But, yeah, he did. He scored a goal. And then we saw a scoreless draw with the B team. So, certainly some good signs. This team might be making some progress. We'll see what they do from here on.
Also, down in Arizona, our boys in other boys in blue, Royals, preseason has begun. And this year, we got new Royals insider Cody Tapp providing all the coverage. Mm-hmm. Also, they can hear every game here on our station, can't they?
Yeah, the spring training schedule starts on the 23rd against Texas. You can hear the very first game of their the first game that we'll have will be on the 24th against the Athletics. That'll be a 2:05 start Central Time.
All right, there you have it. Lots of stuff coming up. It's about that time. Spring brings more games. We like that, that's for sure. Thanks for hanging with us on Valentine's Day, and happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Thank you for all the messages. We'll catch you next week right here on 610 AM Sports Radio. Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero, we're out. See you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.